Well, amen. Why don't we, I just want you to look with me in Matthew chapter 8, if you wouldn't mind. Matthew chapter 8, I'm doing Healing Made Simple part 2, which is really part 1.5, since I only have less than half the time to share it with you. But I just want to just change directions here a little bit now with you, and if we can just go to the Word. Is that okay?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Amen. If I can find it, Jennifer. Okay. Romans chapter 8. You know, Dr. Dufresne would Romans. Did I say Romans? Matthew chapter 8. Just seeing that you're listening. Amen. just seeing if you're listening. Praise God. Matthew chapter 8, that it might be fulfilled. Look at verse 16. When the evening was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word and healed all that were sick. That it might be fulfilled, which is spoken by Isaiah the prophet. Himself took our infirmities and bear our sicknesses. Now we quote Matthew 8:17 in light of the cross. Jesus took it on his body on the tree. But technically, when he did a healing line, he was fulfilling this prophecy. Because by removing burdens, by the anointing breaking yokes, by sicknesses and diseases being taken away, they weren't placed on him in Matthew 8:17. When he's doing the healing line, he wasn't taking them on himself, but he was removing them from the people and setting the people free. Yes. So do you see that? Because most people just quote this from the light of the cross, but technically it's written in the light of his earthly ministry in a healing line. When he prayed for people, he was taking their sicknesses. Yeah. Praise God. He wasn't taking them on himself, but he was removing them from the person. Yeah. But then, of course, that only worked if you were present at that moment. Because if you weren't in the healing line, then you couldn't get healed. Because you had to get to Jesus physically. Jesus knows he's not going to be here forever, and he knows there's going to be a church, and he knows he's going to heaven, and his power is given to the church, so he has to come up with a new system, which isn't just, I'm going to take it off you at a line. Well, what if you can't make that line? So what I'm going to do is I'm going to hang on a cross, and I'm going to take it on me for every human being that will ever live, even if they're not born yet. So Matthew 8:17 can also accurately be applied to the cross because Jesus took that infirmity. Now, Isaiah 53, you know this, right? We're doing a study. The Lord said, do a study on healing, and I need it as much as you do. I'm not really sick or anything like that. I mean, I've got little things that I'm believing God for, and I'm sure you do too. But I'm not doing this because I'm desperate. I'm in a life and death struggle or something. But I just think that we need to keep a focus, especially when he instructs. Whether he instructs or not, we always talk about it. But when he instructs and says, do a series on healing, he knows that some of you need to hear it. He knows some of you need to be reinforced in your faith about this. And if you're not strong, then build your faith about this. Because I'm telling you, in our day in society, sickness is always lurking. Little things and big things. And we need to be so solid in this covenant that when it knocks on the door, we don't just answer the door. We knock the door down and crush the devil under the door. Do you know what I'm saying? Where we have zero tolerance for it. And the only way you're going to get real strong in your covenant is if you hear it and you meditate upon it. Till it's rock solid on the inside of you. And so you know Isaiah 53, do you not?
Yes.
Because Isaiah 53 is similar it's really quoting, he's quoting Isaiah 53. But Isaiah 53 says now, surely, let's look at 53 verse 3. He is despised, rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we were esteemed, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs. See, he's quoting Isaiah 53:4. Matthew's quoting it. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Now, but he is talking in Isaiah. Isaiah's prophesying of his death. But did you notice that Matthew took that prophecy about his death and applied it to a healing line? Isn't that interesting? Because when he takes sickness, he takes sickness. Yes. He was still taking sickness at the healing line. It just was only for those people at that moment. The sickness could come back and they'd have to get back to another healing line. Yeah. But now on the cross, he takes it for all humanity forever. Amen. Which means when it came on him, now it doesn't have a right to come back on you. And you don't have to find a preacher to pray for you. If you really believe this, you'll get healed on your own.
Amen.
I'm trying to get you to the place where you are so knowledgeable of your covenant, that the only time, ideally, Dad Hagen said this all the time. He said, ideally, in the perfect world, which we don't live in a perfect world, but in the perfect scenario, the only ones that come to a healing line are visitors that are unsaved or that are brand or Christians that have never heard teaching on healing. It should never be a congregation member that has sat under the word that comes up for a healing line in a perfect world. Because you should be able to stand in your own faith on this. But of course, there's nothing wrong with coming even if you're a congregation member. Because I, sometimes, the Lord will prompt me and say, go up if another minister is. Because I'm standing in faith, but there's a boost, there's a help. So it's not wrong to come up. But what I'm saying is people get this notion in their mind. When I'm sick, I'll just get pastor to pray for me. And that's not the highest flow. There's nothing wrong with having the pastor pray for you. So don't feel guilty if you need somebody to pray for you. Don't ever feel guilty. Don't be proud either. Don't be so, well, I'm too good for that, or I've got so much faith. Because I've seen people die because they wouldn't let the minister pray for them. So humble yourself enough to say, I'll take any help that is offered to me, but keep in the middle of the road. One ditch says, I'm too proud, I'm not going to let anybody pray for me ever. That's one ditch. The other ditch is, I'm not going to build my faith at all. I'm just going to totally rely on people praying for me. So we got two ditches here. God wants us to stay in the middle. If you need prayer and the Lord prompts you to come up, then come up and humble yourself and the power of God will help you. Whether you've sat under this for 50 years or 50 minutes, the power of God will help you. But at the same time, don't be so dependent on everybody else praying for you all your life that you never develop your faith. Do you understand? You need to learn to develop your faith. Let me help you on this, because sometimes I've been struggling with things. And like, for example, I was struggling with something when I was in June. Now, there was not a major issue, but just a small thing that I was struggling with. And Pastor Nancy gave a healing line. And so I'm just telling you what I do. You do what you want to do, but this is what I do. I said, now, Lord, you know, it's not like a word of knowledge called out for my exact need or something like that, because if it is, I would go up. But this is a general line. And I thought, well, Lord, I'm struggling with this. Should I go? And I followed the inner witness. And in that moment, he gave me a check. Now, when he gives me a check, does that mean there's anything wrong with the healing line? No. What he's saying to me is, keep standing, son. You don't need it right now. Just keep standing. But then when I was with Randy Greer last week, he gave a healing line, and I heard the Holy Spirit say, go. So I went up, and he laid hands on me, and I felt healing power come into me. And I actually would like to go up for every single healing line. Because it's wonderful to have somebody lay hands on you that are anointed and to have that power go into you. And it's just like, Lord, let me go up every time. I want the help. But sometimes he'll say to me, or he'll prompt me by the inner witness, I need you to learn to stand. I need your faith to work, son. Because you're not always going to have the healing line available to you. I need you to let your faith work. So when a call is given and you're a mature believer, check your heart. Don't just automatically flock, because that will tend to and lead to an attitude of, well, I'm always dependent. Yeah. But check your heart and say, Lord, should I do this or should I not do this? Because that's if you're standing. If you don't know how to stand, then you should come up automatically, because you're going to need the help. But if you're standing your ground for health, you're standing on this covenant. Jesus, you took it from me. For them, you took it at the line, because that was just a microcosm. And if they couldn't get to you, they couldn't get help. But then you took it, according to Isaiah, you took it on your body on that tree for all humanity forever. That means what I'm facing, you already bore it. What I'm struggling with, you've already taken it for me. So, Father, I know that it's on Jesus. It was on him. Healing is paid. It's provided. I've taken it by faith. I'm claiming it. It's mine. I take it now. I'm praising you. Symptoms might still be here, but the power is working in me, and I am standing my ground. Now, if you're like that, check your spirit about a healing line. But if you're not doing that, and you're just lazy, or you're overwhelmed, or you're so tired and broken down that you know you're not standing, you better get up here. Because you're going to need help. And that's okay. Just be a bit stronger next time. I don't know which people are coming because they're exhausted, or which people are coming because they're standing, but the Lord is prompting them to go. But I'm just trying to teach you, learn to listen to your spirit. Yes. Learn to listen to that. Because sometimes he may say, not this time, son.
That's right.
You're doing good. The power is working. I want you to see that you can get this with your own faith instead of always with a boost. And other times he'll say, like he did with me last week, just going up. And I got to be honest with you, as a minister and as a faith preacher and as a person with a healing ministry, you know, I hear the devil say, if you go up, they'll judge you. If you go up, you know, you tell everybody about healing, you shouldn't need healing. No, I you know, those thoughts come. And so if you're a leader or if you're, you know, any, you can have those thoughts sometimes. Well, they're going to judge you. But you can't go with that. Because I've learned that if the Holy Ghost is prompting me to receive an anointing in a line, it really doesn't matter what anybody or their cat thinks about me. What matters is that I obey that unction. And praise God for it, because I wish I could go every time. But he doesn't always let me go every time, because I've got to learn, get my own faith working. Do you understand? That healing anointing does not work for me. It works for people. It never works for me. Do you understand? Those gifts don't work for me. They work for the people. So I can't, like, do that, you know, because it just doesn't work. You know, Benny Hinn said a funny story once, which I really laughed at, because he knows the gifts don't work for anybody else. But it doesn't work for the minister, it works for the people. But he was sick as a dog, and he was in his room, and he was like feverish and everything running out of every pore. And he was, you know, I heard him say this out of his own mouth. He was really having a hard time with the fever and all this stuff. And he's flipping the channels, and there his show comes on, and he's seeing himself, you know, with his hair and his white garment, and he's, you know, doing everything that he's doing. And then at one point, he says, stretch your hands toward the screen. You know. And so he's saying that, looking at the camera in a crusade. And the Holy Spirit prompted him and said, stretch out your hands. And he said, but Lord, the anointing don't work for me. I mean, it works for the people. He said, right now, you're the people. In that service, it couldn't work for him. But now that he's a recipient watching it, that anointing on himself on the television from a month ago is still working, because there's no time or distance in the spirit. And so he said, I felt really weird. And I'm hearing myself say, stretch your hands toward the screen. And I said, amen. And God healed him. He got healed from his own anointing, but it wasn't really his own anointing in that scenario. It was kind of a weird hybrid. But ministers need it from other ministers. That doesn't work for them. And except in very strange situations like that. You can't just lay hands on yourself in a healing line. It doesn't work that way. And I've had ministers tell me that have great healing ministries. You know, I've witnessed it with my own eyes. You should see people get healed in here, and then they go to the green room, and I go in the green room, and they just fall down, and they're coughing, and they're feverish, and they're like, oh my God. And sometimes you have to give them medicine, and you've just seen this amazing display of God's power, and they're in there sick as a dog. And the anointing held them during that line and that preaching. And as soon as that anointing lifted, those symptoms came on them. Wow. And I've seen it with my own eyes. Wow. And then as a young minister, you kind of question that a bit. Sure. What's going on here? Yeah. What's going on here? Until Dr. Dufresne taught me. That didn't happen with him, but I'm just saying that anointing works for the people. But he said a lot of ministers don't learn how to get healing on their own faith. Yeah. And so if they don't learn to get on their own faith, they're going to be just like any other Christian that's struggling. So pastors, ministers, anybody that is a preacher of the gospel has to learn how to get this on their own and not be duped into thinking the strong anointing for the crowd is going to work for them. Right. Unless you record yourself and watch it later, I guess, maybe. Praise God. But did you notice here as I close, because I can see you're all just wanting me to keep going for all night. You brought your little tents. We're going to have a sleepover party, right, Jenny? You bought sleeping bags. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. That's what he's quoting in Matthew 8:17. He took it away. Where? But now this is about the cross. So Matthew's talking about it in the healing line, but Isaiah is originally talking about his death. So both work. The healing line was for a small group just at that one time, but the cross is for everybody forever. Praise God. And so he is born. Now look, he was wounded for our transgressions and he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes. On that cross, when they whipped him in that courtyard, with his stripes, we are healed. So you see that healing was purchased at the cross. And now 1 Peter 2:24, in the New Testament, you know this, but I'm just saying it anyway. 1 Peter 2:24, and it says, who his own self bare our sin in his body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were. Isaiah says you are because it hasn't happened yet. He could have said you will be. But he said you are. But Peter says you were. So let me remind you that healing is a spiritual entity, for lack of a better word. It's a spiritual, what's the word I wrote here, Lord? I gave it a phrase here. Healing is a spiritual substance. It's a spiritual condition. It's a spiritual right. Don't think of healing when you're feeling better. Healing was purchased 2,000 years ago. It's very real, and it has substance to it. And it's in heaven. The manifestation is not the same as the healing, quote unquote. The manifestation effect is only comes, you only see that and feel that when you're better. But healing is spiritual in nature. So when people look at me, I'm not being weird when I say I am healed. I'm scriptural to say I am healed. I could be coughing up blood, but I'm still correct scripturally to say, Jyoti, I am healed. Because this affliction was paid for with that stripe. And it was put on his body on the tree. And he says that Peter says, you were healed, which means I'm not trying to get healed if I already was healed, but it's not the manifestation, it's the spiritual element of it. The price was paid and healing was provided because I was healed. So to say when you're sick, I am healed, is scripturally accurate. Now you can't say I have the manifestation yet because you don't. But to say that I am healed because positionally it was paid for is 100% true. Now you're just taking that spiritual thing. You don't feel it. You don't see it. Everything looks like it's wrong. But you just say, Father, I'm not looking at this. I'm looking at Jesus on the cross. And you paid for it. And by your stripes, I was healed when you were whipped. So that means healing was provided. And all I do is I reach out the hand of faith and I take it. It's mine. That means in the spiritual realm, I'm healed right now. Are you listening to me? I've taken my spiritual healing. Now, once I've done that, it's just a matter of time as the power flows before the spiritual healing that I've received manifests with a physical feeling better. Do you understand? So when I say, and I'm not well, I'm healed. I'm saying it from a revelation place. I'm not saying it just out of a confession. I'm saying Jesus paid for it. Healing is spiritual. It was done. I am healed. Amen. I may not feel healed. The manifestation may not have shown up for me yet, but I am healed. And if I'll just keep maintaining my belief that that power is working, then maybe in a minute, maybe in 2 hours, maybe in 2 days, maybe in 2 weeks. I don't know how long it's going to take, but I'm going to look at my body and all of a sudden what was working spiritually is going to show up physically. But let me tell you, things don't show up physically unless you've got a revelation of them spiritually. You've got to know that you are healed before the healing manifests. Now, you say, but I'm healed. I don't believe all that stuff, but I'm healed in a healing line because that's on his faith. That's on the minister's faith. The minister is believing that you were healed. The minister is transmitting healing power from their anointing and their office, which is now manifesting in you. But don't get proud. Didn't you get that on your own? You got that because of him. Now, maybe you brought some faith to the equation too. But that's mainly because of that anointing on him. But now when nobody's praying for you, now it's equalized. When nobody's there standing and believing, it's just you. Now you can really say, Father, I don't feel it, but I know I got it. And as long as I know I got it, the power is working. And the longer it takes, devil, the more I smile. Because it means that my faith is getting stronger because faith works with patience. So if it takes me an extra couple days, I have no problem with that because it's going to make me stronger at the end of that than it was if it came too quick. Amen. Are you listening?
Yes.
I'm healed. I've done this for years and I'm telling you it works. It works for all manner of problems. You know, when I went on that fast to Africa, I'm telling you the devil was angry with that. I walked into that hotel room for 3 days. I fasted nothing but water and prayed about the African ministry and what we were going to do in the future. And within an hour of coming to that room, he smote me. I'm telling you, there was sickness smote me badly. I knew it was a spiritual attack. And I called my wife and I said, honey, I need you to pray with me. I need you to stand with me. And she said on the other line, it will be well. We know we've got it. And I said, yes, I know I've got it. Now, I still had to put through some symptoms. for about two of the 3 days. I have to push through symptoms. And they weren't fun symptoms, but I did it. Because every time I thought about it, I just said, oh, Lord, I don't need to get healed. I'm not begging to get healed. I'm not pleading to get healed. I already am healed because you've already paid for it, and it's spiritual. I don't have the manifestation, but that's not what I'm talking about. I am healed, and I thank you it's mine in Jesus' name, and power is working on me while I praise. And in that pain in that hotel room, it's already hard to fast, but you try to fast when you're sick. And in that, I just kept praising and praising. I don't feel no power. I don't feel no anointing. But I know it's working because I know that the Bible says it's true. Yes. And that power was working. And then all of a sudden, a couple of days later, it was gone. Yeah. The healing manifested in this realm for me to feel it. Yes. But I was still healed before it manifested. Yes. Spiritually, I'm healed. Yes. Naturally, it took some time to show up. Yes. Don't get that mixed up. If you get that mixed up, you'll struggle. Yes. A lot of people say, well, until I feel better, I'm not healed. No. You're healed because he paid for it. Yes. Feeling better is just a manifestation of it. And God doesn't like it when you get this mixed up. So get it straight, because he likes the way that you talk certain ways. He does. It's not semantics. It matters to God how you talk. So don't accuse him and say, oh, God, please heal me. That's not scriptural. And don't say when you're not well, oh, I guess I'm not healed. No, you are healed. It's a done deal. Just stand your ground until that power manifests physically, so the headache leaves, or the lump goes down, or the arthritis leaves, or whatever the problem is, the answer comes. But don't say when you're waiting, I'm trying to get healed. Don't say I'm believing to get healed. You're already healed. Why are you believing to get healed? You're healed. What you can say is, I'm just praising God till I see the manifestation. That's accurate. But don't get mixed up with what healing is and what a manifestation is. They're different. Amen. It's really helped me. Amen. I'll end with a story. When Jenny was struggling, man, she went through hell. Devil attacks wives a lot. And she's a minister in her own right. But because there's extra attacks that come on her, that's why people need to pray for her. But when that sickness came on her, that lump in her breast, and at the same time, problems in her hip sockets. And she couldn't turn over in bed. I'd have to turn her over. The agonizing pain. She couldn't put her shoes on half the time. I'd have to help her put her shoes. She couldn't reach over. It was agonizing pain in her hips. Now, we didn't whine and complain. And I would say, honey, let me take you. Let me fly you out to Dr. Frank. No. Why? Because if this don't work, I got to make this work. Doctor would come with the tangible healing anointing in his hand for lumps and cancers. And I'd say, please let him lay hands on you. No. I thought at one point she was in the flesh. You don't say no to Dr. Dufresne. And she said to me, don't say this unless you have the measure of faith for it. But she said to me, she said, if this don't work, I'd rather die. I said, you can't die. I have 4 children. I can't do this without you. I want you here. I need you. I love you. Not just because of the help she is, but because she's my best friend. But she said, if this doesn't work, I'd rather die. And I said, well, just let him help you. Let him pray for you. No. If Jesus took this, it has to work. Now, most people don't have that tenacity. Most people will not only let the minister pray, but you run off to every medical appointment and she wouldn't let people give her chemo. She wouldn't let people do anything. Now, that's hurt. Don't go and try to imitate if you don't have that measure of faith. Because she had a measure of faith for that. And she's been meditating on that a long time. And I'm not against anybody that getting medical help. Get it. I'm just saying in her case, she had enough faith not to. And she stood for a long time, honey, over a year. And I remember in that little house, we had a little bench by the front door, and I'm in the kitchen and probably making some healthy snack, you know. And she's over there, and she's trying to get her shoes on, and I can hear her go, oh, as she's reaching over to try to put her shoes on because the pain in her hips is so overwhelming. And I remember I stopped and I was about to come over and help her put her shoes on because I sometimes did that. And I heard a sound come out of her. Boy, it'll make your hair curl. I heard a sound come out of her because you had enough. And she's sitting on that chair, that little stool. She cried out to God. And I heard her say these words, Father, I'm not asking you to be healed. I'm not begging you to be healed. And devil, this has got nothing to do with you. Jesus has taken this for me. And I take my healing. I mean, she yelled it. I don't know, you have been standing the whole time, but something broke that day. Sometimes you got to get to the place where you are done. Yeah. And sometimes you'll put up with stuff long enough, and then all of a sudden, you're just done. I don't know how much of that's you and how much of that is the anointing of God on you, and I don't really care. But when you get to the place where you're done, healing shows up faster. I don't understand all of it, but I just know she did that for a long time, months and months and months. But that day, something came out of her junior that was not her. It was a cry from the depths of her being. And she was fed up with that sickness. And she said, and I love it, I'm not asking you and I'm not begging you and I'm not pleading with you. This is not a matter of you. I'm not trying to get you to do something for me. Are you listening? Yes. I'm not trying to get you to heal me. Yes. You've already healed me. All I'm doing is thanking you for that power, and it has to manifest. Yes. And within a very short period of time, God fixed those hip sockets. She said it felt like crushed glass in her bones. That's what it felt like. And before very long, she was moving and walking, and she's never had that problem since. Praise God. And for that lump, it got bigger and bigger and bigger and more painful and more painful and more painful until one day I'm preaching on David and Goliath, and the devil spoke to her. He'll talk to you in church. He comes to church. And she heard a voice speak to her. An evil spirit say to her, I was preaching about David and Goliath and how nothing's impossible for God, and God can beat any Goliath in your life. And I'm not phrasing exactly, but that she heard that voice and it say, that thing that you got in your chest, that Goliath's too big for David. It's too big for the anointing. The anointing can't handle that. That's a Goliath. Can't handle that. And then she heard the Holy Ghost speak. She was like in between two voices. She heard the Holy Ghost say, no, that's not true. The anointing can destroy any Goliath. Now, sometimes that enemy will try to talk and the Holy Ghost will come to your defense. But listen, remember that, Jenny? But who's going to break the tie? You. Whichever side you agree with is what you'll have. And if she had said out of her mouth, I'm preaching, she's sitting in that chair right now, years ago. And if she had under her mouth, under her breath, if she had said, well, I guess maybe it is too big, she would have never been healed. She probably would have died. But she decided to agree with that report that came from God. And she whispered, just whispered, because I'm preaching, she doesn't want to disturb the service. She whispered and said, Holy Spirit, that anointing can destroy any Goliath. And this is not too big for that anointing. And it was the next day she felt like hot honey and oil. Virtue. Oh, virtue, that moment. So she felt something go into her when I was preaching. When she agreed, that power came into her. And the next morning she woke up. It's gone. She said, Craig, feel. And it's gone. And every now and then I just say, honey, do you need me to check you at all? I just... She's just my beautiful wife. You know, I'll take any excuse to get my paws on her. Praise God. But she checked, I checked, and God smote that thing from its root and killed it. I'm telling you, it works. It works. But that tested her faith. That tested her. It tested her fear, anxiety, images of death. It tested me. But I'm telling you, when you stand on the word, it does work. It does. But don't not get help medically if you need it. Just know your measure. Be sober. Romans 12 verse 2 says, be sober with your measure. Know what you can handle. And remember, the Holy Spirit never leads you outside your measure. So if you don't have enough faith, he won't lead you to not go to the doctor. He'll lead you to go to the doctor. If you're not quite there yet, he'll lead you to come up for help. He'll lead you according to where you're at. And sometimes you're strong and other times you need help. So just because he led you last time not to go to the doctor, and somebody, I'm speaking by the Spirit, so listen to me. Just because last time he didn't lead you to go to the doctor, the next time he might still lead you. Because he knows where you're at today. He knows the pressures you're under today you might not have been under the last time. And your faith might be hurting and not moving the way it should because of the other pressures that you're under. So just don't get so adamant about what you think God wants. Just follow every day the unction, every day the leading. Sometimes he'll say stand, other times he'll say go to the doctor. That's right. Yeah. Praise God. Even Dad Hagen, who was not sick for all those years. Remember, you know, headaches tried to come, but it never took hold of him for 50 years. He never had a headache that took hold of him, never had a sickness that took hold of him. He lived in health for 50 years, over 50 years. After he got healed, he lived in health. But do you know that Dad Hagen still went to the doctor to get checkups? Amen. Dad Hagen still went and did certain things in the natural. Because if you're truly in faith, you're not afraid of the doctor. Amen. People that are afraid of the doctor, you're not really in faith. You think you're in faith, but you're not. Because if you truly trust God, they're not a threat to you. And what they might tell you should not scare you. That's right. Because no matter what they tell you, it's just a fact. But you've got a truth to supersede that fact. Amen. And if they tell you something's wrong, don't stress out about it. Just say, Father, thanks, Doc. Appreciate everything you've done.
Yeah.
I see it on Jesus.
Yeah.
I see it on him.
Yeah.
Yes. And when David Hogan's daughter, Alegria, got so sick, how many days was it? 26 days? 26 diseases? Crystalita. 11 days, 11 diseases. 11 major diseases. They were minor ones, but I mean, they'd come in and she'd have scarlet fever. And they'd run tests in the hospital. And he'd say, she has scarlet fever. And David would look right at him and go, Doc, with all due respect to you and your team, thank you for your help. But I know what I believe, and it will come back negative. Jesus has taken that scarlet fever. And he'd leave the hospital. He'd come back the next day and then meet him and say, I don't know how to explain this to you. The scarlet fever, it tested negative, but now she has cancer. And he'd say, Doc, with all due respect to you and your team, I appreciate all that you're doing. I say it will come back negative. Jesus took that cancer. And he'd come back the next day and say, I mean, they would have teams of doctors come and meet him because they have never seen this before. The cancer came back negative, but she's got leukemia. 11 days, 11 life-threatening diseases, and a change names every day because they're demons that are those sicknesses, often are demon spirits. And his faith got rid of that one, but another one would come. And she went the color of gray, the color of carpet, he said, gray carpet. She was on the death's door. But he said, I said, you will live and you will not die. I said that Jesus took it. And I say, you be healed. And on that 11th day, on the 12th day, actually, she was gray. He said she looked like she was dead. She actually thought she was dead at one point, because she looked like death. And he just said, Father, I thank you. You took it. And she's healed. And she opened her eyes and said, Daddy. And the life of God came into her. Her color returned. She got out of the bed, and within 10 minutes, they were walking out of that hospital. And they had given her up for 11 days straight to die. Don't tell me this doesn't work. Don't tell me that any name is higher than that mighty name of Jesus, because it's not. It worked for Jenny, and it worked for David Hogan's daughter, and it's worked for me, and it worked for you, Sharon, with MS. There is no cure for MS. And Miss Sharon right over there had incurable MS. And she came here and started believing God. And she is MS free.
Amen.
Healed. Is Puneet here? I know that Arjun's here. Puneet had a stomach disorder. He couldn't eat. And that first couple Sundays he came and I laid my hands on him and God smote that condition. And he has been eating healthy and normal ever since.
Yeah.
Deanne Allen, she had a problem with oranges. I don't know what an orange ever did to her, but my God, or what she ever did to an orange. But an orange literally could put her in cardiac arrest. It was so dangerous. She could smell it if anybody had an orange in the building.
Yeah.
Remember, we would have to make announcements and said, you can't bring oranges in the building. Because of Deanne, but the power of God smote that disease and that allergy, and she is completely and 100% healed. You don't, if you just ask people how many people have been healed in this church, it is astonishing. Some by the healing line and by my anointing, and some, which is even better, by their own faith. Because it's all the power of God, and I don't need to take credit. I'm just grateful that God's power works. So whatever you've got tonight, whatever you've got at home, Jesus took it. Stand your ground. You're not trying to get healed. You are healed. And just believe that it's working in you, and it will manifest physically, and you will be well. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you for the word of God that brings life and strength. Thank you for nuggets that have helped people tonight. Thank you for the help of the Holy Ghost, that they would learn to be led by the Spirit and not by their adamancy on the healing covenant. And not just because they read something in a book that somebody else did, or they heard a testimony that somebody else, let them be led by the Holy Ghost themselves, because you know where they're at and you know what they can handle and where their faith is and where it's not. And if they'll be led, they'll always come through in victory. And I give you praise, and I give you honor, and I give you glory in the name of Jesus. Everybody said, amen.